Welcome to another edition of the Toddcast, episode 122. That's a lot. We did a lot of these.
It was
damn legacy numbering.
It was Agatha all along.
All along. It was, I swear.
That all week. And Marvel just announced today that they have a whole line of Agatha All Along merchandise that's coming out.
Cuffs. Oh, teeth. That's awesome.
I'm like, yep, gonna get those.
Oh, man. So, how have you been, Tim? I haven't seen you in like a week.
I've been good, and everybody tuned in for a great episode because I am going to take down three peeps this episode, one at a time.
The candy peeps.
Not real peeps.
Like, you're just gonna. I was like, please don't go out and start mass shooting people. That would just be awkward.
No. You took a different way than what I meant. I just meant.
Right. I don't like peeps at all. My dad loves them. I can't stand them at all.
So.
Anyway. All right. So some NDC events real quick. Continuing now through March 7th. 25-cent books still at the mills. You fill a bag, like a free comic book day bag for $15, a short box for $40, and a long box for $60. Apparently it's been going very well. I've been getting some good reports from everybody at the store. So, I mean, I flipped through them real quick just to see if there was anything I wanted. There wasn't anything I specific. Like, oh, I take it back. Ryan and I found some Fat Ninja books. So that was cool. Fat Ninja.
Yeah.
I did find a Brute Force in there. Just so you know. Really? Yeah. I left it in there. Easter egg.
That's one too. Dan Hanna. He's like, he's one of those guys. He likes to look for books. As soon as it becomes popular, he's like, I got to get it because I always wait on it. And now it's going to go up because it's popular. And then he'll find good books in the dollar bin for us. And he'll be like, hey, I found this Brute Force. And he just, he can buy it for himself and he doesn't.
I love guys that do that. They're my favorite. Actually, he came up to Cranberry for their anniversary sale. And he found the Light and Darkness War full series. And he is just like, here, man, make sure you check this out and read it. So I have it sitting by my pile of stuff to read. I did catch up on a lot of things, which was nice. But anyway, check out those quarter books. It's a lot of fun. I know a lot of people are going out and checking out. Then this coming Saturday, not 2 days from now, but the 6th, the first Saturday of March, free graphic novel day. So make sure you come in and check it out. We'll have a selection at every store. You can get a free graphic novel just for coming in the door. And then every graphic novel you buy in the store gets you another one off the selection. It will be awesome. I am going to throw some cool new ones in. I just need to go and actually do that at some point. That might be this weekend. And lastly, March 20th and 21st, we have the Fill a Long Box event, or as I like to call it, the Pot of Gold. It's at all stores. It's Fill a Long Box of dollar books, basement style. The basement is not available to be shopped, by the way. Just it's basement style, as in the same rules apply. Everything has to be front to back, nothing down the sides, nothing laying down. It's 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, and it's at every store. Cranberry, since it's tiny, I'm actually gonna fill up the van and set up a bunch of tables outside as long as the weather's nice. So we're gonna have some expanded dollar books there too for a while. So make sure you come check that out at any of the NDC stores. It's a lot of fun. We do a lot of crazy shit, and I'm excited for it. So I spent today working on getting the feed of our podcast working again on iTunes. They said within 24 hours we should know, so make sure you check that out if you listen to us on iTunes. It's a good time. If not, you can still catch us on Spotify, and you can also do it on Buzzsprout. Now you can find us on Buzzsprout and Google Podcasts also play us, which is cool. I did not even know that. We didn't even just set that up. They just found it. I was like, wow, Google, way to be proactive. So, all right. So now we're going to talk comics. So I'm going to try something new, and I'm actually going to show the comic on the screen as we do it. So my first book is By the Horns from Scout. And
I like the artwork.
Oh my God, the art was gorgeous. And this book was kind of fun, but it didn't quite grab me the way I wanted it to. But the art is so, so good. It is very much so like a like almost like a D&D style questy vibe to it. A young lady is this monster hunter who goes back and forth from the fields of killing monsters and bringing monsters back, and her hometown where they turn all those monsters into soup. And no, really, into soup. And they want her to bring back a unicorn horn, but she's killing all these things, these other things that have horns. And because she keeps failing at bringing a unicorn, they basically banish her from the town. And so her and her dog, who she can magically talk to, go off and start hunting for more stuff. They have to be exiled for a year unless they bring a unicorn back. So she kills this giant dragon whale thing, which is crazy, oh, right? Yeah, and then, like, so she kills it and then hollows it out and, like, lives in it for the night. That's like a fire in there and makes soup out of it.
Like Star Wars.
Tauntaun. Yeah, almost like a tauntaun. A giant tauntaun, yes.
Tauntaun.
And then goes to a port city to kind of trade some stuff. And she's wondering why there's no real magic there. And you find out this wizard that lives off the coast is hoarding magic. And in the last page, you actually find out that he's hoarding unicorns as well. But we don't know why he's hoarding magic. We don't know what's going on with it. But that's where he is. There's this really cool, like, the when they show you the sketchbook of characters in the back and how they develop the characters, that was really awesome. I really thought it was good. For the most part, if I were like more into role play, I think I would have liked this book more, because it kind of goes in the RPG vibe. Yeah. like Tim Hibbard is gonna love this book.
Oh yeah. Wouldn't you hoard magic if you could hoard magic, though?
I would totally hoard magic if I could hoard magic. Although, I would hope to just be strong enough to not need to hoard magic and just use magic, you know, to my own personal.
Or I would hoard magic prune juice, like in Zapped, and then, boom, your underwear off. If you don't know Zapped, then you're not old enough, but you should still watch it.
Right. So, all right. So what are you going to do?
Let's talk about Ms. Marvel, because I was really excited to read this. The last couple covers were done by Mirka Andolfo, and they were gorgeous. And this is her 75th issue. So I was like, oh man, that's really cool. She's like, this book's really moving. And then I found out it's the last book. This is it.
Really?
I'm super excited to read it. I'm flipping through, and then at the end, it's like, hey, everybody, bye. I'm like, what? But it's a cool book. The whole last arc was kind of tied into the Outlawed story. There was an explosion at her school that happened when the champions were, you know, trying to provide security. And they did this thing called Kamala's Law. Which basically was like the Superhero Registration Act, but for superheroes under 18, which we kind of talked about with Champions last week. So The last couple issues have all been about that. Dum-Dum Dugan works for Cradle, which is like the shield of underage superheroes. And he's been trying to arrest her. And they actually get together and save people that are brainwashed by a gentleman named Monopoly in the previous issue, and he's like, you know what, you're one of the good ones, I quit this job. So that's kind of the setup. This issue is definitely a lot about her, and I think trying to wrap up the arc and all the things that she's been through. There is some action in it. Her and Amulet have some cool action scenes together fighting Stormbreaker, which is her alien you know, it's kind of like her black suit. So, you know, there's some fighting going on with that, but it's a lot of like making up with her one friend who called Cradle on her, and understanding why she did it, trying to repair a relationship that she has with her friends, especially one that she kissed and then decided that they weren't going to be together. So it's a lot of like that high school stuff. If you liked Ultimate Spider-Man or any of the younger Spider-Man stuff, I, even though it ended, I would still check it out. My guess is that with it ending at 18, but 75 overall, when that show gets closer, they're going to come out with another. There's no way they're not going to have a new Ms. Marvel series. Right. So, but I would, it was a really good series. I would check that out. So
I have the first arc.
That is
over. The first arc was excellent. And then I think the part of the creative team changed, like the artist, I think, changed.
It was the second one. Changed back to the artist who did it in the original first two volumes.
Right. But that third volume was some other artist and it didn't really go for me very well. So,
but yeah.
All right. My second book, I like doing this That's screenshot cool. thing. I think it's working out, is Two Moons from Image. This was kind of interesting because it's, you know, I've talked about how I like period pieces, and this is kind of a Civil War piece.
Yeah.
So you have a dude who's part of the Union, and he is Native American, and at certain points he starts seeing his dead grandfather, who was actually called Two Moons, and you find out that body's been dead for a couple days, and he was like, "What is going on?" He's kind of freaking out. He meets this really awesome Irish chick, who's the nurse, and I only know that because the way the dialect is totally Irish, and she's a redhead.
Yeah.
And then it goes off like where they actually have a skirmish with some Confederates, and this guy who's kind of a douche gets shot in the gut at the end. He's also a Union guy, but he gets shot in the gut, and then he turns into this weird monster that only the main character guy can see, and so he shoots the guy in the head, and they all see him just shooting like his superior officer, so they all are like, you know, now you're a traitor.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like where it leaves off, because he looks like a normal guy, but it's like Native American superstition meets Civil War. I really enjoyed it. I thought the art was solid. I thought the writing was solid. And it you know, it got me because I like period pieces. I like stuff about like World War One, World War Two. You know, I haven't really dove too hard into Civil War stuff besides watching like, you know, some of those movies back from like the 80s and the 90s. So I really enjoyed
it. When I saw it on the sheet last week for this coming week, it sounded pretty cool. I just haven't read it yet. So
yeah, I thought it was very good. I definitely gave it like a 4 out of 5. So
nice.
Yep. What you got?
What'd I say? Did I say Wolverine?
Yeah, Wolverine and Black Cat were your other two, so those are your options.
Wolverine, because I didn't finish the book. I didn't finish it yet. I didn't have time.
Okay.
So I'll kind of give the setup off of this cover here, what's going on. Basically, Wolverine's investigating a robbery, and it leads him to this place called Legacy House, and Legacy House auctions off superhero parts and mutant paraphernalia and different kind of things like that. And one of the things being auctioned off is Wolverine's severed hand with adamantium claws still attached. And the next auction is his ex teammate from
Alpha Flight.
From Team X, Weapon X. It's Maverick.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. He's on the cover. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was really cool getting to see, even though I didn't finish the issue, the last issue and this issue, Adam Kubert draw Maverick again, because it just has that like 90s kind of feel, and it just like really excites me.
Art looked killer.
Yeah, the art is fantastic. So the writing's been pretty great. So basically, Maverick is brainwashed, and they're selling him as a weapon, basically. Hey, here's this awesome guy that used to be, you know, Weapon X or Team X, and you can have him to be your own hitman. Well, because him and Wolverine have a past together, Wolverine was able to break him out of that. And now this is a lot of cool action with their escape. One guy is shooting him with, I can't remember what it was from, but it was the Phoenix gun. It was like a gun. It had like a little Phoenix emblem on the end. And it was from a series that they did. But somebody's got that. So it's pretty cool. A lot of chaos and people fighting. Like I said, I got about halfway through, but the whole Wolverine run has been excellent. It's been one of my favorite of the X-Men stuff. And I'm reading all of the X-Men stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I would check this issue. If you like Wolverine and you like the old, like, 90s X-Men stuff, it's a pretty cool story. At least check that one out. And Omega Red was in the couple issues previous to that, so it's got that very 90s feel to it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
cool. My last book is Nuclear Family One from Aftershock. I really, really like this book a lot. Stephanie Phillips and Tony Chastain do a really killer job. Like it kind of puts you in the beginning part, kind of puts you in place where it's in the 80s. Like they're talking about Sputnik, and then two guys at work that fought in Korea, like are working at a used car dealership. And then the one guy goes home to dinner with his family, and during dinner, or while they're getting ready for dinner, he goes down and he's like playing with some radios because he was a radio guy in Korea. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the air raid sirens go off and he goes outside and he's like talking to his neighbors, like, what's going on? After he shoved his family in the basement, and all of a sudden bombs start landing everywhere.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it's crazy. And so this last bomb lands on their house and they're like, what's going on? And they said, yeah, he walks upstairs. It's like, no damage. What the hell's going on here? And he like walks out the door and it's like all super foggy. And all of a sudden, a bunch of army dudes in gas masks with rifles show up and they're like, not another step, commie. And I was like, whoa. And then there's these cool things, like these things that are pretty, if I remember right, pretty accurate from what I remember hearing about, like the Red Scare in the 80s, of like how things you can look for to tell if your friend, if your neighbor's a communist. And it's like these crazy things. And then there's this fun one. It's like how to protect yourself in a nuclear attack. One, remain calm. Two, make yourself small to always appear less threatening. Like, like all these funny things. The art is just, it's really, really well done. This is probably one of the better Aftershock books, I think, that have come out in the last couple weeks. I had when I talked to them last week at Comics Pro, they very much so pumped that book up, and they had every right. They were absolutely correct. That book is very, very good. So
all I can think about as soon as you said the title is Indiana Jones inside of a refrigerator getting nuked. And that's all I could think about the whole time. I'm mad. I was like, because it sounds like a really cool book, but the whole time I'm like, they didn't need to put that in there. That was stupid. And then I start thinking about that, and then I start thinking about Shia LaBeouf swinging around on the vines like a monkey, and then I get even more upset. And somehow all of that was more absurd than that lady or that guy getting eaten by ants. But anyways, that's an old movie. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what that book just did to me. So
I enjoy it. I thought it was good. But so
I think I'm going to check it out. I said, I have two moons. I haven't read it yet, but that actually sounds really cool. And I know Aftershock has been, for the most part, I feel like hit more than miss.
Agreed. Agreed. Oh. Yeah. So
my third book, because that was your third, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So my third is Black Cat. And I have reviewed every issue of this so far. This book, I almost don't want it to end from the King in Black crossover, because the things that are happening in it are so crazy and so beyond just somebody that's a thief. Mm-hmm. You know? So the last issue, her and Bats are going to rescue Doctor Strange. And if you remember last week when we did King in Black 4, I think that takes place after this issue, because in this issue, they're still rescuing him. And they're trying to rescue him, and he's not awake. And Bats is like, hey, how about you use this little stick that I have? And it's a little branch piece from Yggdrasil, from the tree.
Yeah.
And she uses it. And I'm going to put up, I'm going to show you this picture behind me so you can see how freaking crazy this was. Here we go. Oh, I have my TV off.
Actually, you want to send it to me and I'll just share it.
Yeah, here, I'll text it to you real quick. Sure.
All this technology we're trying to do.
Yeah, I know.
While I'm waiting on that text, looks like Carl is reading Absolute Carnage, and yes, we know he's behind. And Mike is says he loves Black Cat, which nice. A lot of us do. So, I know what you mean. All right, let me share that. That is pretty sweet.
Yeah. So she's
that was the variant cover, wasn't it?
It was either the variant cover or the second print cover.
Of number two. Of
number two. I think it might have been a second print number two. No, it couldn't have been, because that was just in this book. So it had to have been a variant cover.
Okay.
I'm just used Marvel.
I know it was a different cover, because when I was looking for this, the main cover, this is what I found.
Oh, and that's the one that flew off the shelves before anything. I mean, that book hasn't stayed on the shelves, but it was that cover, I think. The book, she saves Doctor Strange, she slams his staff down, and basically she has this power that she can pretty much do whatever she wants. And the whole time that she's in the fight, there's stuff going on in her head. She is basically talking with this guy that looks like her dad, and he's offering her all the magic. And she's like, well, what do you get out of it? And he's like, here's the thing. I'm kind of in this stick, and I can't do all the things I want to until somebody else is like, yeah. So it's kind of like a Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice situation. And he offers her all the power in the world. One picture is her with the Infinity Gauntlet on, and she's kind of buying into all of this. And then he's like, and anybody that ever loved you, like, I can make them love you. And that kind of wakes her up. He kind of effed up there. She's like, did you really think that I would want to trick somebody into loving me? And that's when she breaks free from his spell. And then it kind of just like stops there. She's free. She helps. Her team escape, and it's her and Doctor Strange are getting ready to take on what I'm going to guess is probably the last part of this King in Black tie-in in the next issue. But it was this whole book with the King in Black tie-in has been excellent, and I'm kind of nervous about what it's going to be like going back to just like, you know, a basic thief, you know,
right
after this. But so far it's just awesome. So
yeah, I love the one before this was really great. I've always loved Black Cat as a character, so I'm just very interested to see what they're doing. I think it's funny that Bo made a comment and he forgot to switch it from the store. Similar to what you did earlier.
Like, as asking, I was asking more as the store, not myself. Like,
it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay, Bo. We understand it won't let you switch. By the way, like, you know, Bo just couldn't make it tonight. It's just going to be me and Tim for a couple weeks. Bo's got some stuff going on he's got to take care of. We just want to make sure he has some time to do that. And no worries. We didn't hate him. We didn't throw him out. No, nothing. We still love you, Bo.
We'll probably be here from time to time making some comments. So
I know he's still here. So it's fine. All right. You ready to talk some WandaVision?
I'm so ready.
Oh my God. So I rewatched the entire series today. Kind of just in the background a lot while I was doing some other things, but yeah. Man, is it so good. And at one point in episode 2, I started texting you about Dottie.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel that Dottie's going to be the Mephisto, because she even says the words, "The devil's in the details."
Yeah.
And she's the only one that Agatha is kind of scared of or doesn't want to talk to or talk about.
She tells Wanda that she's like, Dottie runs everything in this town. She's like, so she kind of sets that with what you said about the devils and the details, and then her warning Wanda. It kind of sets it up that she is something, and she's kind of just been the background. After they introduced her, she really has, I mean, what was it? Was it this last episode or the one before where it was just the power went out? And I think it was the birth episode. And they just showed her like standing there. Does this make me look fat? And her husband's like, oh, thank God. But I think that's the only other time we've seen her since after the second episode. And then this episode with the flowers.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, really. So, yeah.
Seems like a Marvel thing to do.
Now, the only other person that I thought would be cool for Mephisto to be is the same woman is in every single commercial.
And the same guy.
So I'm curious to know if either of them may end up being Mephisto.
I'm wondering if those are her parents. And that, because all of those things are like memories and traumatic things that happened to her until we get caught up to where the timeline is. And then everything else is, I think, starting with the Yo Magic yogurt is like kind of predicting that episode's events. But knowing that those were all like things in her past, I kind of was like, that might be her parents, just because if it's all about the torture she's been through, losing them was hard also, you know?
Right. So, I did hear some rumor today that,
wait, is this a spoiler we want to know?
Yeah. Well, it's basically like the other Quicksilver, the one from the MCU, may actually still be showing up.
Oh yeah, when there was only Evan Peters, it surprised me, because I remember when they were filming it, that was the rumor that they were both on set.
Yeah,
at that point. So I was just going to be like, la 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 la, I don't want to hear it.
We got 2 episodes left, so the things we're going to see are other Quicksilver and Mephisto. Those are it. That's pretty much it. And the kids will probably end up being at least teenagers by then.
I would think if they're going to go the route of, which it looks like, of Young Avengers, I would imagine that they're going to go there. Todd said he wants a new Ghost Rider introduced into the movies, and hang out, Todd, because we're going to talk about that as we get through the episode. I have something I want to say about that. Cool. So what was your...
I loved the... I loved Kat Dennings' character, like when it turned into the circus. She was like in the chains because she was cuffed, and she just like was the escape artist, so she just got out of it. I thought that was great. I thought them stealing the truck and then like the red lights and then like the service crew and then the kids, I was waiting for like a marching band, like I thought that was excellent. I really feel that instead of having a Nicholas Scratch, we have what is his name? Senor Scratch, the rabbit.
Yeah, Senor Scratch. Yeah.
Rappers. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Let's talk about the intro, because I thought the intro was cool. It was, it was definitely, to me, there were people that were arguing about like what it was. I thought the entire intro was The Office. That's how I took it until they got to the title screen, and the title screen was so clearly Modern Family.
I definitely felt a little bit of both, but I also felt a little bit of Arrested Development in there too.
I could see that.
And I thought that like right off the bat, and then going back and like looking at people's notes, like that's what everybody thought the three were really pushed for. Although I heard that there's either a scene that they haven't used or a scene that's coming up in this next one of Evan Peters in a very office-y looking moment. But it could be a Parks and Rec moment, because while The Office did air first, Parks and Rec also had a similar vibe to it when it came to characters.
Yeah.
Especially like the Chris Pratt character was kind of like their Jim, you know? And I think that's kind of the vibe.
Yeah, they all had that feel of the, and they captured that well of the, like talking to the camera.
Yeah, like the mockumentary, as they call it.
Like Tom King did in the Heroes in Crisis story. But yeah, I thought that they did a really good job with that. It came, you know, when she's like, mom's gonna close her eyes, you know, like something that, you know, you would see one of those funny lines from those shows. But the whole intro was great. Carl mentioned Chathune.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are starting to wonder that. Obviously, I hope everybody's caught up. The big reveal is it was Agatha all along.
Yeah.
So catchy. Like it hit all the monster spots that I wanted it to hit.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, so it's Agatha. At least that's what they're telling us right now, is that it's Agatha. And we got to see all the cool things that happened that she was controlling behind the scenes that we didn't see when they actually happened. Like at the magic show, she was in the car. She was the person that asked in the same episode. She's like, don't you feel like you deserve this? I think she said to Wanda, you know, she's trying to break her down.
Right.
But everything downstairs in the basement. Well, wait, before we say the basement, we should talk about Monica Rambeau, because she had some really cool moments in this.
Can I just say she was a badass in this episode?
She really was.
Oh,
superhero landings. So
too.
That's kind of something, you know.
Like the whole, I'm just gonna plow this truck into the force field and just try to plow into there as much as I can, and then just be like, fuck it, and jumped in. I'm good.
Yeah. It's so cool getting to see, like, she's going through, and somebody pointed out that it was almost like four walls, and I think you saw four different versions of her, which was it back to when that episode when she gave birth, she knocked her through the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
Like the house wall, the fence wall, the brick wall, and then the energy wall. So that was really cool watching her go through that energy. And then when her eyes
were blue,
and then they showed her how she sees everything through the spectrum, I was like, hot damn, I called it all along. I said spectrum. Now, hopefully she'll still go with spectrum, but I think that's where they're going with her.
Yeah, because her mom was Photon, so... Yeah.
I just always thought, out of like respect for her mother, that she wouldn't pick Photon, and she's not a Captain Marvel. So that was my thinking on Spectrum. So
I'm okay with either way. It's fine with me. So I think Photon may be a way for her to homage her mom.
Yeah, for sure.
But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Greg Ochaba wants to know if we have any speculation on who the big appearance will be, since Paul Bettany said it was somebody I had to work with, and Elizabeth Olsen said it's someone compared to Luke on the Mandalorian. I mean, if it's got to be somebody that's MCU connected already,
yeah,
right. Because that would make it comparable to Luke on the Mandalorian style.
Yeah.
So I think it would be hilarious if it was Edward Norton. or Lou Ferrigno. That would also be awesome.
I thought about what Paul Bettany said, that he really wanted to work with this actor for a long time. And the first thing I thought of was that British actors love other British actors. So I went straight to Doctor Strange. So that is my guess, is that it's going to be Doctor Strange. And it
was, but he would have worked with him on either Endgame or Infinity War.
They didn't film those all together. Remember, in Infinity War, he wasn't in, Vision was in Wakanda, Doctor Strange was in New York.
Right. And
then they were in space while Vision was
that's possible. Yeah.
I mean, they did, I told somebody, it was when Tom Holland hands the gauntlet off to Captain Marvel, he wasn't there that day. They used a stunt double and they CG'd his face on. So that's like how crazy everybody's schedule was, that sometimes actors that were in the scenes couldn't even be there, right, to do scenes, and it wasn't just stunt work. So I think it's going to be Doctor Strange, and it makes sense since supposedly Wanda is going to be his apprentice in the multiverse. Yes.
So I was just trying to think of outside that box, because
yeah.
You know.
Well, who is your, then let's say, who's your non-obvious choice? Who would you say?
Well, actually, so Greg just kind of almost nailed it, because he said he thinks it might be Ian McKellen.
There's a lot of people that are.
I don't think it's going to be him, though. I think it's going to be who's the guy that played the younger version of him? Not McAvoy, because McAvoy was Professor X. Although that would be okay too.
I can't remember his name now. I'm blanking on it, and it makes me mad because he played Magneto really well.
Yeah. That guy. That's the guy that I want.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Magneto. It would, although her brother coming back, if it could kind of be that level in the real Pietro. Because they kind of already set it up like, hey, there's this other one, but it's from the, looks like the universe. So that would be a way to kind of like shock people, like it's this other one. Now, which one is it? You know, who's who kind of thing.
I think it'd be a Michael Fassbender. Thank you, Greg. I think it would also be cool to just completely like just go completely in left field and introduce Polaris and Havoc. You know, because they have ties to Wanda too, as like part of that multiverse, and then we don't see anything else for like 3 years.
Well, that's so crazy because there's so many, like, if you start going into her family, there's like so many possibilities. Like, it could be Magda, like the mother that they really didn't know. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, High Evolutionary, how cool would that be?
Yeah.
Like, and that's one of those ones I don't think a lot of people would know. The people that are just jumped on and are on, like, the movie team, but don't really get into the comics, they'll be like, I don't really
get. Maybe we'll finally get Mr. Sinister after all this time.
When we do, I can't wait. It's going to be good.
Carl thinks it might be Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
That would also be cool.
Yeah, that was Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen, and Doctor Strange were the, I think, really popular ones. But the thing that's cool about, you know, when you go down into her basement and that book is there, there's so many dark kind of books of magic in Marvel that are very underused. So we already know that the Darkhold has been in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and in the Runaways final season. So mm-hmm. it wouldn't be surprising if it was the Darkhold, but there are several other books that it could be. So I think whatever the book is will help reveal more of who's in charge. What was the thing that I read the other day?
I do want to see Agatha completely twist and become a good guy, though. You know, because she really is kind of a good guy in the books. Like, she's the babysitter for the Fantastic Four, and she teaches Wanda magic, and you know, she what was the other thing she did? She was something else too.
And she gets killed in the comics by her son.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Nicholas Scratch. And then we have a rabbit named Senor Scratchy. So, you know, her son could be in an episode. Now, I wouldn't think that would be the big reveal, but there's so many possibilities. You know, her son could be in it. You know, Mephisto. You're talking about the Darkhold. So I think of, like, Midnight Suns. And that's thinking about Ghost Rider. Maybe not in this, but I think could be a great segue to doing something with Ghost Rider.
Well, they announced that Blade movie. It could be the Blade actor. It
could be Blade. Because Ghost Rider was supposed to be in the Hellstrom series on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
And then right at the last minute, before they started filming, they're like, yeah, he's not going to be in it anymore. So it makes you wonder if they feel like they're just going to save that for movies, like they could do something really good with mm-hmm. movie TV. But
that show wasn't too bad, by the way, if you haven't seen it. The Hellstrom show, it was pretty good.
I didn't watch it. It was hard for me. I wanted to try it, but Runaways really disappointed me on Hulu, so I was kind of expecting something else on Hulu that would disappoint me.
Well, the first season of Runaways was crap. The second and third ones were really good, though.
I thought the third one was probably its best season. It just felt like they tried to dodge them using their abilities and being who they are so much in the show for budget or whatever reasons.
Right.
But anyways, yeah. So what book would you say? Do you think it's the Darkhold or?
I think it is. It looks a lot like it from its time on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's definitely doing some stuff that wasn't doing back then. Like, it's got like the crazy glowing effect, but I think that it may actually be Agatha trapping someone in there. Yeah. And I'm wondering if everybody that's in there is somehow trapped in that book, or at least she's trapped in the book, or maybe real Pietro is trapped in the book, or now the kids are trapped in the book. Yeah. So
yeah, I also agree. I think it'll be the Darkhold. Me and Tim Hibbard were contemplating some other books, but the Darkhold seems to make more sense, and people have heard of it more than the other ones. There was a thing that somebody had put online mentioning in the first Doctor Strange movie, when he's in the kind of restricted section,
mm-hmm.
and Wong's like, there's no forbidden magic, it's just these are for the Ancient One, and they were chained up.
Yeah.
They're chained up in these things that are hexagons. And mm-hmm. after this episode, I can't stop seeing them everywhere. Like, I'm looking at your, like, shape of your house behind you, like the roof and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, this
don't seem like, if I see a hexagon, I'm going to puke. But, I can't remember what we're saying. What are we talking about?
I think you're, so you think it might be a book that was stolen out of the Ancient One's chamber? And you think that Agatha may have studied with the Ancient One? I can see that.
Yeah, because if you look, there is a hole of one of those books is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the book, because Caecilius didn't take a whole book. He just took a couple pages.
Right.
So there's a whole book missing, and now there's a magical book showing up.
I think they talked about that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that was where the Darkhold was.
Maybe, but I don't think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is canon anymore, so who knows?
I differ. I think it is. I think it is canon.
Okay.
So, this may be the thing that ties it back into the thing, which, because it's canon because of Agent Carter being canon, because the last season was part of Agent Carter.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it could be a slightly alternate you see it with, like, in DC especially, it's like, hey, this is this Earth, and I didn't kill Joker, and that one choice led to spawn a new universe where I do kill Joker.
Oh, yeah.
So it could be one that's just very similar to ours. So, but I would love it if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was canon, because we've already got a Ghost Rider in there, and that was one of the better arcs in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was that Ghost Rider arc.
And he looked killer.
Yeah, he looked awesome. So I don't know what that actor is doing right now. Gabriel Luna?
Yeah, I think the same, yeah.
He did the Terminator movie, which he did a good job in, but
yeah,
I don't know doing anything else. So come on back, buddy.
All right, we're running out of time, so we gotta move on to this other thing. So WandaVision, 2 episodes left.
Yep.
Tomorrow and then the following week, and then we have 2 weeks, and then it's Winter Soldier. So we can keep doing these forever. And then Loki's like right after that. So
actually Loki got pushed back to June. So now we're going to have a whole month.
Damn it.
Marvel. They're like, here's some drugs.
Well, they had to move. Did they move Black Widow again?
I think it's November or no, it's May.
Okay.
I don't think they moved in a second because November is still Eternals.
Okay. And Spider-Man's December.
Spider-Man's November or December, yeah.
Yeah. Because, hey, No Way Home. That was the best reveal of a title I ever saw. It was so good. If you haven't seen it, make sure you guys check out the reveal video clip. It's very, very funny.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to talk about 3 comics or comic storylines that changed our lives. We thought we'd give a little bit more different content and a little bit of introspection to us. So we want to talk to you guys about some cool shit. So do you want to go first? Cause I went first on regular comics.
I'll go. Cause then I might lose my thought. My brain's like, there's a hockey game, there's food in the kitchen, and it's all over the place. So I might as well get them out. Ultimate Spider-Man is one of my favorite things. The original Ultimate Spider-Man. And it's given us some really cool stuff. Miles comes from that storyline in Ultimate Fallout. But I'm a big Spider-Man fan. And when you've read Spider-Man that long, it becomes hard. You've got to get a really good writer and give them time to do something awesome. And Ultimate Spider-Man did a modern retelling of Spider-Man. And it was so much of him still in high school the whole time. And it just made me love Spider-Man all over again. And the artwork, the whole creative team, Mark Bagley, doing Spider-Man is always amazing. So him and Bendis, I think they set a record for a mainstream comic for longest run for on a mainstream comic. It's 129 issues or something like that.
Yeah.
But Ultimate Spider-Man for me, because I've always been a Spider-Man fan and I didn't think anything could get me excited. It wasn't very good at the time, regular Spider-Man. And Ultimate Spider-Man it brought me back. So.
Great. That's awesome. My first book I'll talk about is The Boys. Okay. Because The Boys changed for me how people look at superheroes. Because it wasn't on the side of superheroes. It was on the side of regular people. It's superheroes being in way more of a real situation.
Yeah.
Plus I love, it was my first dive with Garth Ennis. I thought the art is just always been fantastic. Just the idea of those kind of heroes just kind of screwing with the world and being manufactured and all the crazy stuff that they would do, because it's way more realistic than watching a Superman or Batman or X-Men movie. Way more, what would actually happen in the real world. And that's why I think I liked it so much. Because the people with powers knew how much power they actually had, and they totally fucking went with it. Like, so
I really do agree with that. That because when I never read the book, but I watched the first season, mm-hmm. and it felt like that. It's like, you know what? Yeah, if superheroes were real, they would be like McDonald's sponsored corporation.
Yep. Owned.
And it was like, it's probably ahead of its time for when the book came out. But yeah, that's a good pick. That's a good pick.
Right, what's your number two?
Number two is Identity Crisis.
Oh, good DC. One.
So before I even got into Spider-Man and Marvel, it was Superman. Superman was like the thing that got me into comic books. And then it was Superman and Batman. And I had a huge love for DC. And then I kind of just was like, man, it's bad. And I just dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went to a New Dimension Comics. It was when we were on the third floor. And Pat was working. And he said, try this. And he goes, I'll tell you what, buy it. You don't like it, bring it back, and I will buy it off you with my own money. So
nice.
I'm gonna try it. It's a fantastic story. If you like, you know, the old Batman stuff where he's the detective and trying to solve a mystery, and you know, for me, I knew the characters, but there was obviously new things that happened, but I did not see the twist that was gonna happen in that book. And it made me love DC. And then the stuff that followed after that, they did the Infinite Crisis where Blue Beetle died.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fantastic. So that was a good era of DC for me. That Teen Titans run that Jeff Johns did.
Yeah.
Not new Teen Titans, but the more modern one.
Right. That was the New 52 one or the one right before that, right?
It was the one before that. So, but yeah, that book brought me back to DC. And it made me a fan again of DC. So
it's awesome. That's a really good pick, man. I know that's a lot of favorites. I know Vito loves that book.
Yeah,
he and I talk about that book a lot. So,
like wishes he could write a story that way. He tries to write it that way, like where it's real, but then it comes like too off, like too hopeless and Zack Snyder-ish. And it was Brad.
Ouch.
Is it Metzler? Is that his name?
Brad Metzler. Yeah.
And it was just awesome. So, yeah.
All right. My second pick is Excalibur by Claremont and Alan Davis.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm almost 40. Like growing up, it was 90s X-Men and Spider-Man cartoons and a bunch of stuff on TV in cartoon form. And when I was going to buy comics at the spin rack at the little, you know, newsstand store that I had in town.
Yeah.
All the bigger titles were always kind of taken away, like by the guys who could get there faster because they drove. I either had to walk or ride my bike from school. And I started reading Excalibur, and I also loved like Arthurian legend and stuff like that because, you know, young kid growing up. It had a good mix of pre-existing X-Men characters that I learned from either reading books or watching the cartoons like Nightcrawler and Rachel Summers and Shadowcat. And it had cool stuff like, you know, Captain Britain and Pete Wisdom and Namora. And it was cool to see that whole different, like, oh, X, there's different kinds of X teams, not just the one in Westchester. And I think it was just the way it was written, the way Claremont could do it, because he did it from the beginning. And it wasn't just, you know, picking up from where Stan Lee left off. Like, he just could run with it. And I loved it. And I like, they came back and did a second, they called it New Excalibur, like a couple years ago. They had put it out maybe 10 years ago. And it was like Juggernaut was on the team and Nocturne.
I love that.
Oh, it was so good. Like there's a scene that always sticks in my mind from that of Nocturne and Dazzler are like walking down the street and Nocturne's listening to Beatles from her universe that had not broken up. And Dazzler's like, who are you listening to? And she's like, the Beatles. He's like, that's not a Beatles song. I know the Beatles song. She's like, well, my universe, they never broke up. And then immediately Juggernaut plows through a building. It's like right there. And in the classic stuff, like I loved, there was a early story where Rachel shows up as Penance with the Phoenix Force for the first time. And it is like this gorgeous, gorgeous couple panels of this happening and her joining the team. And it's just so good. Like, I definitely recommend checking out old Excalibur. It's a good time. If you're kind of up on the X-Men stuff. What's that?
I was trying to see who the artist was because I remember how, like, I just love the art. Jeremy Hahn was one of them. I always loved the art in that new Excalibur.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
It's so good.
Yeah. Are we doing three?
Yeah. What's your third one?
Crap. Okay, so this is going to be tough. I'm going to do across all three. So I did Marvel, did DC, and I'm going to do an indie because I wasn't always really big into indie stuff. And then this book opened my eyes that there are good things out there. Mm-hmm. And it's Deadly Class.
And I somehow knew this was going to be your book.
Deadly Class by Rick Remender. But it's so awesome because I love the book so much that it opened me up to a lot of other indie things, older stuff, newer stuff, but it's an awesome book. It's like Harry Potter for ninja assassins. But if you're expecting a book where the good guy always wins, this is not that book, but it's also not the book where the bad guy wins. There's just twists. If you think this person deserves it and they're going to die, guess again, it's all over the place. You can't ever predict it. They did something so fantastic that I've never seen anybody do in a comic like this, where the main character, Marcus, gets killed. They're like so many issues in. And then he's gone. He's not around for 2 years of the comic or something like that. And then he makes a return. And I'm just like, wait, what? And they show how he survived and everything like that. But like, they introduce like a whole new class. They're like, here's a new class of superhero assassins and stuff. And the old class kind of just was like starting to be forgotten. And you're like, oh, okay, well, the book is just moving on. And then you bring him back and it was fantastic. So, and it's Rick Remender. And I don't think he can really write anything bad. I don't know. I like what he does. He does really good stuff and he's always creative.
I think he hits it pretty hard. Like Old Guard, his Uncanny X-Force was amazing. Michael Ryan was the artist on that Excalibur, the new Excalibur book.
Okay.
I like him a lot. I think he's really good. So just trying to read the comments real quick.
Yeah.
Greg Ochoa is Peter David's Hulk and David Michel. I can't say it. Michelini and McFarlane Spidey were his jams growing up. Good call, man. Good call. Those were great.
Stuff.
All right.
Good pick.
My last one is not a series, but it is the book that really got me into. It was the book that solidified me going into comics and diving headfirst and like being consistent with it. It also is the book that forced my love of Scott McDaniel and my love of like B and C list characters. It is Avengers Annual 22.
Okay.
It is also the first appearance of Blood Wraith, which is when the Black Knight's squire decides to pick up the Ebony Blade, what happens to someone who's not of that, of his bloodline tries to wield the blade and they become Blood Wraith, which is just like a person completely consumed by the sword. And he's the bad guy through this whole thing, but it's the Avengers team. That's like Black Knight and She-Hulk and like all the like B and C, like Wonder Man, like all the B and C level dudes that were the Avengers, while like the more classic style Avengers were all on the West Coast doing West Coast Avengers. And it was awesome. Like Roy Thomas, Glenn Hardling or Hurdling, were the writers, and Mike Gustavich and Alan, what's his name? Milgram, something like that, were the interior guys. And then Scott McDaniel did the cover. And I bought it in Kerwinsville, Pennsylvania, at this place called Buzzards. And my great aunt bought it for me because I was like, oh, they have comics. I'm going to go check it out. I think I want to get into comics. Because at that time, I had bought maybe 20 total books outside of that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, holy crap, this book's so thick. Look how awesome this is. So I bought this book, and it was game over. Like, it was, you know, now I need to be in comics for the rest of my life. It was so good. I still like reread it every once in a while today. And Mike Gustavich has been at our show a couple times, and I always forget to get him to sign it. Same with Scott. I'm like, I need to bring this book because I have two of the guys who did the book, do the art right here. And I always forget about it. But it's such a good book. And it's in the dollar bins all over the place.
Yeah.
It was a little hot for like 5 minutes because, there were like when it was like, oh, they might use Blood Wraith, you know, because he's a first appearance. But
yeah, that's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. All right. So, Carl said V for Vendetta is a solid 2.
Yeah,
good,
I agree.
Good one. That. I agree with that. That was, I really try to go with things that meant a lot to me versus like, and try not to be cliche about it, right? Because I didn't want to be like, oh, The Watchmen, man, it was so good. It just totally wrecked my world, which is true, but it didn't mean to me as much as these books did. Like another book that, a story arc that really changed it for me was Avengers Disassembled. Like that whole storyline was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I loved every minute of that too. And that was one of the ones that got me back into comics when that was coming out. And then Civil War did the same thing. Like every time I'd go through a wave of trying to catch back up and getting back in.
Yeah.
So Tim and I were talking earlier today. So we're going to do some polls to see what you guys really want to hear from us. Cause sometimes we just kind of ramble. I think we have a pretty good formula and a lot of people do like what we do, but we want to make sure that we would get you guys what you want. So look for that poll. We'll post it in the Facebook page. And then also,
I was doing art, Justin
Bieber. I saw that.
Okay. I was hoping you wouldn't see it.
What? So you know, and then also, you know, with Bo coming back too, at some point we'll work him in there with that. Let us know if you liked having like the full picture of the book up. Like that was a new thing we tried today. I kind of liked it. I thought it was cool to make sure you guys understood which book we were talking about for those who are watching versus listening. And then remember also that, you know, I got all those links fixed up so you can listen to it on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify. So by tomorrow, everything should be up and ready to go. And then lastly, so Tim and I were also talking about some kind of cool giveaway thing. So I had a better plan. Tim was like, let's find like a variant or something. I said, nah, let me think about this. So I thought about it. Here's what I want to do. So I think what we're going to do is I'm going to take one of those black store folios. You know what I'm talking about? They hold like 15 books.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go and I'm going to hunt down a mix of cool dollar books out of a dollar bin. Maybe an NDC variant or two and some other kind of cool book to throw in there. And we will, by the next episode, figure out what the rules for this will be and how you can participate. Pretty sure it's going to have to be some kind of thing where you're going to have to comment during a live show. or within, we'll say, 24 hours of a live show into that show's comments.
Could be a thing. Refer friends, get some friends to like the page,
and then we would basically like raffle it off. You know, because there are some of you guys that watch every week and we love it. We love being able to actually, like, you know, talk to people, even if it's just reading your comment and then kind of freaking out. Because like Carl, Ron, Bo, they're you know, Todd. When Bo's not here, Todd
been here a couple times,
yeah. It's a good time. Like, we love it, and I hope you guys are enjoying it, and you know, share it with your friends. And I'm gonna try to make sure that the event's up a little earlier each week than normal. So that's pretty much where we're at. So if anybody has any questions or anything, you can always message the Facebook page. Also, you can follow us on Twitter as well. There is a Twitter. Tim, I'll give you the password for that at some point. I got to find it. but that's pretty much it. So you have anything else? I think I'm pretty good.
No, as soon as you told me the Twitter, I started having panic attacks because I have the store's Twitter. And sometimes I'll text something like, "This guy is an idiot," and then I hit send, and it's like from the store. And I'm like, "Ah, shit!" So then I have to go and delete it, and then retweet it as myself. So
keep following all like the cosplay girls on the store's Twitter?
No, it drives me nuts. I've slowly unfollowed those as they pop back up, like in the feed. I go through and I follow like any of the local comic shops or artists that I like that are like new artists and stuff. But I want to say, and I feel comfortable saying this on a video, maybe it was Chip, because I know he's not going to watch this. So
I don't know, man. It could have been any of us. Like, there for a while there, a lot of the staff had access.
Yeah.
The managers, the old GM, myself, you know, Todd, I think, has the password somewhere. So God knows that somebody was just drunk one night liking stuff, you know, and not realizing that it crossed over.
I'm going to laugh now because this will be the episode that he does listen to. And he'll be like, "No, man, I didn't do that."
Or somebody's gonna call him on it at the store. And I'm going to be like, "Oh, shit. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Like,
don't get hot water."
Yeah. Now, we will follow local cosplayers because we support, not that we don't support the cosplay community, but
we're not just going on Twitter liking skanky cosplay people.
Yeah.
It has to have meaning.
Right.
Is so, that what we're getting at?
We want to support them. We just don't want to support them through an OnlyFans. That?
Yeah. But speaking of, you guys can catch me at 8:30.
So, you have a free OnlyFans, I hear.
I do, because I keep my clothes on. I do shakes and stuff. And people are like, "Well, he's going to take his shirt off." But then I don't.
Yep. I take my glasses off. It's like a whole thing where chicks lose it. Yep. Yeah. Some dudes, too. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, this was fun. I like the format of going over the things that were important to us, stories and comments. I thought that was fun.
Yeah. So we're gonna think of some new stuff to put in there as fun things to do each week. If you guys have suggestions or you want to hear this kind of comment of that kind of stuff, let us know. Like, we'll totally try to work it into a week. We do have some cool guests coming up. And actually, I have one to confirm. Where the hell is it? Real quick. Doug Wagner is going to be confirmed. He did the ride with, what's his name? Why can't I think of his name? Adam Hughes. He did it with Adam Hughes. That's it. Yeah. I was like, I know I'll remember it because his initials are AH. Why can't I think of his name? So he did the ride with Adam Hughes for Image a couple years ago. And he's going to be on sometime end of March, beginning of April. And then we have Team Ash coming up in a couple weeks.
It's going to be different. I just talked to him today. He said, because they just had a kid.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think that's why. He's going to be a year old. His name's Wolf. Okay. So he's going to come on the 11th, and then she's going to come on at a different date by herself. And that was my guess, was the reason why, because somebody needs to be watching the child. So
I don't have a babysitter.
Yeah.
I can't come on this.
Agatha. Do not get Agatha to babysit your kid.
If she has a rabbit, run.
So. Anyone. Agatha, this right. Be on the safe side.
It's gonna ruin Agatha's forever.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys. Well, thanks so much for listening and watching. We will catch you next week. And like I said, throw some ideas. We already have some floating into the comments. Throw some ideas of stuff that you guys want to hear about, and we'll try to work them in. And other than that, shop local, shop safe, and we'll see you at your local ND Comics.
Thanks, everybody.